Psalm 63, we'll read the whole of the psalm together. The 63rd psalm, the psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God, every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Amen. Well, tonight we come to verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Dear congregation, David makes plain that he will be satisfied back in the sanctuary, in which he will offer praise in the public ordinances. As we saw a few months ago, he had a longing to be there. Just turn with me to verse 1 and verse 2. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He was in exile. He wasn't where he wanted to be. He longed to be back, there knowing the blessings of the sanctuary. He longs for it, and he knows he will be satisfied therein, and he will offer praise. However, it's plain in the psalm, he was being filled at this time. He was satisfied with the Lord and his help, and he was further praising him. It's a psalm of David, and we see much praise here in this psalm. Just notice verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Yes, he looks to be back in the house, but at this present time, he will praise the Lord as well. He is satisfied, and he knows joy. Well, let's come directly to this verse tonight. Let's set the background. We're going to consider two things, satisfaction and joy. Satisfaction and joy. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. We have here the word satisfied. A satisfaction he would know within his soul. Not just in his head, but within his soul. My soul shall be satisfied. Now, what does this word particularly mean? Well, from the Hebrew, it's translated here as satisfied. It can be translated as filled to satisfaction, have enough, have plenty of, suffice. The same word is translated in Ruth 2, verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come now hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed. It's the same word, translated here as satisfied, to have plenty of, to suffice, to be full. And notice the comparison here in verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. There's a comparison here. Note the words as with, or in comparison, like as marrow and fatness. And as we consider the comparison, we're given help to think of the satisfaction that David knew in the house, but also at this present time. Notice the comparison. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Marrow. The particular Hebrew word is translated also as finest. And we have it in Psalm 147 verse 14. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat, or the marrow. The finest. We've got to think of the finest when we consider this word marrow. It comes from the root of the fat of an animal. Hence, as we consider the root of the Hebrew word, the richest or choicest part, the finest part. That's what the meaning of the word marrow means. The finest part, the choicest part. So that's the word marrow. And then we have the word fatness. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. You know, satisfaction, first of all, with the marrow, the finest part, the richest part, the choice part. And then the fatness, simply sumptuous food. This Saturday, the Lord willing, I hope to, along with Sharon and the children, attend the family wedding. Looking forward to the wedding, seeing my niece get married to Jake Norvin at Bordock. But I'm also looking forward to the reception. They're farmers, you see, and there's going to be a big spread. And I'm sure there'll be sumptuous food, and I will be satisfied. Fatness, sumptuous food, marrow, the choicest part, the richest part, the finest part. You think again of Psalm 147, verse 14, and filleth thee with the finest, or the marrow of the wheat, the meaning. The best food in the house. We think of the comparison, then my soul shall be satisfied as with or like marrow and fatness with the best food. In Psalm 36 verse 8 we read, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. So we're thinking of the best, the finest, which we know near to the Lord. Now at this point, turn with me to the Song of Solomon 2 and verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. What a feast we know in the gospel, near to the Lord, first of all. But then secondly, near to the Lord in the house. The banqueting house we can consider in that light as well. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. What we have known through Christ in his kingdom, in his family, what we have known in the gatherings of the saints. He had brought me to the banqueting house. What do we read here? My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Firstly, near to the Lord. He was in union. Near to the Lord. He had known that satisfaction. But then secondly, near to the Lord, we say further, in the house. In his church today. In a local congregation. Listen to the Reverend John Banner Paddington. The saints are largely refreshed, satisfied, strengthened. Satisfied. David knew that satisfaction, as we will consider in a moment, near to the Lord at this present time. But then he remembers, he reflects on that satisfaction, and he knows that he will be satisfied when he returns to the sanctuary which he longs after for in verses 1 and verse 2. Satisfied. Listen to John Gill. The phrase denotes the abundance of spiritual refreshment and delight in the word and ordinances and the great satisfaction had in them. My soul shall be satisfied. Yes, we'll consider in a moment. He knew it now, but he's longing. When he returns, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. The delights, the refreshments he had known. And we can know such things near to the Lord, as we will consider in a moment, but also in the gatherings of the saints. And there have been times. As we think of these things, we must just pause and say this. It is important we act in a right way and we do not disturb the peace of the house through our own sin. We must act in a right way. There's satisfaction to be known, but sadly there can be times of sorrow because of sin. Let that never be. And if we are the cause of sin or destruction, we must humble ourselves and seek the Lord. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My soul, that's what we long for, isn't it? Let not any sin in me disturb the peace or the joy. The Lord knows. Now in the gatherings of the saints, the Lord is present. And there can be that satisfaction known. In Hebrews 2 verse 12 we read, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. There the Lord is in the midst. Oh, to remember it. The Lord is in the midst. As Reverend John Rabbi Duncan puts it, he's there in the midst to inspect. He knows. He's in the midst. Oh, to be in awe of him. But oh, what a blessing when we consider his nearness and his grace and his favour. He's in the midst. He's present. We see him in the word. We're reminded of him in the sacrament. Just consider coming around the table. Do not we particularly think of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us all those years ago? We look back, but then we look up and we enjoy that spiritual fellowship with him. We think of what he has done, such love that his body was broken all those years ago and as his blood was shed. Oh, we're reminded of him in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. He's in the midst. We see him in the word. We're reminded of him in the sacrament. We sing to him. We talk to him. We pray. There can be a satisfaction found near to the Lord in a special way. Yes, we're in union. And that's why David could know a satisfaction in the wilderness. And so we can know a satisfaction in the wilderness because we're in union with Christ. But particularly consider what David is doing here. He's longing to be in the house because there's such a satisfaction in that special place where the Lord's presence is known in a special way. Well, we don't have such a house today, but we have the gatherings of the saints. And we can know the Lord in a special way. Satisfied in the presence of the Lord. And we've known it. Satisfied in the presence of the Lord. Satisfied under the word. Satisfied around the table. The finest things in the presence of the Lord. That's why we come humbly, isn't it? We come confessing our sins. How could we come without confessing our sins? Because we come into the presence of the Lord. What a blessing to come humbly, looking unto him. We can know that satisfaction, that feeling. The Lord is enjoyed. We're in his presence, and as we think of this, we're reminded of his grace. How can we come? But when we think of his grace, that brings satisfaction. His everlasting love, his mercy. All this can bring such a filling. And we're comforted and we're strengthened. We're directed through the word. We're encouraged when the Lord speaks to us. We're comforted. Or we can be satisfied through these things. Psalm 119, verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. My comfort in my affliction. And we've known comfort, yes, day by day at times, but when we come under the word, we've known comfort in our affliction, and that's brought us satisfaction, hasn't it? We've been filled, we come in weary, but then comforted, satisfied. There's comfort, there's peace. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ met with his disciples not long before he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and in the midst of them he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." He said it to them again, "Let not your heart be troubled." And they knew a little help. And we have known a little help. And we have known that satisfaction. Remember later after his resurrection, Luke 24, verse 36, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." He stood in the midst and said, "Peace." And when we're aware of him and the word comes home through the Spirit, we can know that filling. Yes, I have what I need. I have that peace which I was looking for because my peace was disturbed. We have found peace. We have found refreshment and strength. Times we come in weary, burdened because of things that have happened in the day. But we've been caused to sit down and we've been refreshed in a green pasture. In the banqueting house we have received from the Lord, and his fruit was sweet to our taste, and we have been refreshed. He brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. There we are, and confronted with the love of Jesus, satisfied. Just a little of his love satisfies us. No wonder we read in Psalm 65, verse 4, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." We shall be satisfied. And just a little of that recognition of the Lord's presence, just a little of the word, just a little sight of him in the word, just a little thought of him around the table has helped. We can say we're satisfied, aren't we? "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house." Blessed. We're blessed to know God. We're blessed to enjoy God. We're blessed to be in communion with God. And have we not known a satisfaction? Now, there are times when we are satisfied here below. It doesn't mean to say that every time we come to the gatherings of the saints, we go away so refreshed. No. But we've known times, and we've known a little help, haven't we? There has been times when we have been satisfied. But you consider heaven, the Father's house, and the eternal state. What satisfaction we shall know there. What delights we will enjoy in his immediate presence. What provision there is in heaven. How satisfied we will be. The Lord will so speak, and it will be such food for our soul. And then considering, in passing the eternal state, what provision in the new heaven and a new earth. What sights we will see. There was once an old minister, Reverend Greer, and he preached at the Salisbury Conference a number of years ago, and he said this, "I hope there are mangoes in the heavenly ground." If he loves mangoes, well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? What provision there will be! But do you consider the spiritual provision? We will know, we will always be satisfied, filled. We will have enough, but we desire more. We want to be satisfied more and more. Satisfaction we will know in heaven and in the eternal state when heaven and earth will be one. But there are times of satisfaction here below. Well, as we draw to a close, secondly, joy. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When he returns, he's going to sing praise unto the Lord with joyful lips. He longs to be there. Just go back to verse 1 and 2. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He wants to be there. He wants to be there, offering praise with such joyful lips. Why? Because he knew a measure of sorrow at this present time. Just think of the background. Just notice the title again, a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He had to flee, and there he was in the wilderness, in that barren place. Just notice verse 1, for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What a place! And he knew sorrow in that place. He knew sorrow because of the enemy. His enemies had brought him sorrow. He knew distress in his heart. Sorrow had filled his heart. Turn with me to Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? How long forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? How long? Sorrow in his heart daily because of the enemy who was pursuing him. He's in the wilderness. He longs for the sanctuary. He longs to be there where he would enjoy the presence of God. And there, rather with sorrow in his heart, he would with joyful lips offer praise to the Lord. Joy would be cultivated in his heart and would cause his lips to sing. That's where he longs to be, because he knew much sorrow in the wilderness. But it wasn't all sorrow in the wilderness. And we saw that a few weeks ago. He knows a little joy, a measure of joy. Verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Yes, he knows much sorrow in the wilderness, but it's not all sorrow. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Just follow this through. He's going to bless the Lord while he lives. He's going to bless the Lord before he gets back home, before he gets to the sanctuary in verse 2. It's not all sorrow. Yes, there was much sorrow. And yes, we may not be where we want to be. And we know much sorrow in our hearts. But there can be joy. Now just note these words. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. He's known a little of it, but he's longing to be back home, knowing such joy in his heart. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Left to ourselves, we would not truly rejoice. The Holy Spirit comes, and he excites the grace of joy in view of God. And joy is known. Joy in view of the nearness of God. And that brings us to consider, as we said earlier, the grace, love and mercy of God. And we can know joy in view of that. What a gracious God we have that permits us. What love that ever surrounds us. What mercy is there to uphold us. And we can know joy and we can return praise with such joyful lips. Joy in view of the web. Joy in view of comfort. Joys arise. A joy arises in the soul. It's known within. And then it's found upon the lips. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Notice the progression. My soul. The Lord's working within. Then it affects his lips, or it will. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. He's found praising God with joy. And are we not thankful for those times when we're found praising God with joyful lips? We know much sorrow in this world. Our joys are interrupted with sorrow. And how quickly our joys can be interrupted. So quickly. Our peace can be disturbed. It happens, doesn't it? Blessed are the times when we do know that joy. Not always do we know it in the gatherings of the saints. Do you understand what I'm saying? One believer can know it, but another one in another pew may not know it. We don't always know it, do we? Remember those two on the road to Emmaus, the Lord's Day, the day of resurrection. I will rejoice and be glad in thee. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. But those two were sad. We can know sadness on the Lord's Day. We can know sadness in the house of God. That is the gatherings of the saints. Blessed are the times when the Spirit comes and cultivates that joy. Yes, there may be a measure of sorrow, but joy arises. And we need to pray for help in this. Psalm 51, verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. One can be so burdened. And you struggle. But the Lord is able to come and help. Make it your prayer, Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Open them, Lord, that's what I desire, and that's what I now pray for. And I will praise thee. The Lord will help. Oh, for help in praising him. Oh, for help in focusing on him. Oh, to be looking unto the Lord in worship, in our own homes, but also in the gatherings of the saints. Oh, for help to focus on him. Oh, to know help to rejoice as we sing praise. To praise the Lord with joyful lips. Psalm 71, verse 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. You see, the psalmist there, he's going to praise the Lord. When the Lord pulls at his heart and works within, it will affect his lips. Oh, for the Lord to pull at my heart in the worship of God. He's worthy of such praise. Are we not exalted to rejoice in him? Psalm 98, verse 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Particularly focusing there on King Jesus in that psalm and his coronation. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Oh, consider him, what he is like and what he has done. Consider your Saviour. He's worthy to be praised. What love he has shown. What a shepherd he is who helps us. Think of those words in Isaiah 40, verse 11. He gently leads those that are with young. They have their burdens. You may have your burdens tonight. He gently leads those that are with young. He gently leads you on. Oh, to focus on him. What a shepherd. What a friend who stays near. What a king who draws near. Oh, to exercise faith and be found looking unto him as we sing praise. When you're singing, when you're offering praise, keep your eye upon Jesus. You may go to hear a choir sing, and you're sitting looking at the choir. They stand up and they begin to sing. And what are the choir doing? They're not really looking at you, are they? They're looking at the conductor. Oh, look at Jesus who leads the song. Hebrews 2, verse 12 and verse 13. Keep your eye on him as you sing. Rejoice in him. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. As we draw to a close, David longs to be in the sanctuary. and there praising the Lord with joyful lips, because he's known much sorrow in the wilderness. And there can be days when we know much sorrow, and we just want to be near Jesus in that special way, don't we? But you consider in the wilderness, David had known a little reviving. We won't read those words again, but just notice verses 3 through to verse 4. He knew a little strength and refreshment, and he offers praise. How he longed to be back in the sanctuary. But here in the wilderness, he's found praising the Lord. And you be thankful when the Lord helps you in those wilderness experiences to praise him. In closing, and it is in closing, one day we will be home. Where is our home? It's in heaven. And after seeing Jesus, who will be standing in front of us, as we saw last Lord's evening, and then being aware of the perfection of our soul, we will be then aware of the peace and the happiness in heaven. How calm! We will be aware there is the absence of sin and the absence of sorrow. Our hearts will be so full of love and joy. We will look around how happy heaven is. And how happy now my soul is. Yes, I know times of happiness here below. And joy, but my joys are interrupted. But now, as I look at Jesus, how happy my soul is. In heaven we will be so glad, and we will with joyful lips praise the Lord, and there be no little, even little sorrow in our hearts. At times we know much sorrow here below. In heaven there won't even be one moment of sorrow, not one measure of sorrow in your heart. Nothing will interrupt the joy in Emmanuel's land. We shall be in the midst of a great multitude, and there we will be before the Lord, and we will be so happy in his presence. And we will be so glad when we hear his voice, and we will respond with such joyful lips in praising him. Think of home. Think of the eternal state, when your sorrows will be past. But oh, as we look up to that place, all to know more of heaven here upon earth. And all to know more of heaven in this local congregation. Don't disturb the peace of Jerusalem. Don't disturb the joy. Be humble before the Lord. Confess your sin. Be humble before the Lord and rejoice in him. You think of a sanctuary. All those years ago, a quiet place, a place of refuge where the Lord was known. Oh, let this place be a place of refuge where the Lord is known. And joy arises in your heart. And with the people of God, we joyfully sing unto him. Let us pray. O gracious God, we come to thee. We thank that we can be satisfied near to thy heart. And we can be satisfied in the gatherings of the saints. Sometimes we know sorrow, but we have known times of satisfaction. When thou hast drawn near to us and helped us, comforted us and brought us peace. And Lord, we have with joyful lips sung praise to thee. But Lord, we thank thee for those times when we've been able to, with joyful lips, praise thee as it were in the wilderness, away from home. Lord, help us at such times when we're in the wilderness experience. And may we long for home. We can't really grasp it, O Lord, what it really will be like when we step into heaven. How calm is the place of heaven. What joy abounds. No sin is allowed in, nor sorrow. Oh, what a place. A place where our Saviour is. our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Shepherd, our King, our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, we thank thee for the prospect. Oh, to know more of heaven here upon earth. For Christ's sake, forgive us our sin. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, amen.
Amen.
We turn to our second praise, Psalm 34, verses 7 through to verse 11, and the tune is Main. Psalm 34, verses 7 through to verse 11, the angel of the Lord encamps and round encompasseth all those about that do him fear and them delivereth. O taste and see that God is good, who trust in him is blessed. Psalm 34, we're singing verses 7 through to verse 11, and the tune is Main.
The angel of